Rise and shine, rise and shine, grinders. Wake up, wake up. It is the Weekend Grind Podcast. We are back here, the Weekend Grind crew. I'm Josh, Sir Giant, as always, with my co-host. You all know him as Mr. Chalk or Mango, Travis Mangone. Travis, how you doing today, bud?
Good. Yeah, thought we had a couple of nice calls on the podcast yesterday, but I don't know. It didn't all pan out for me. My lineups were just not constructed properly. But yeah, it happens. I just played tournaments yesterday. It was kind of fun, but didn't have the best day. But, you know, that's why we always have, another slate. So that's always a good thing about DFS.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and, you know, the thing that's great about daily is, every day you get to play. And, yeah, I think we did pretty well on the podcast, too. We got some good feedback on Twitter. You guys liked some of the calls that we made. I cashed across the board, which, is always a good thing. And now we go into Sunday. We have a nice slate here on Sunday, which is, we got, 12 games here? So lots of fun. We got some updates as we're going. We're recording this very early for you guys. So, there's things popping up, some news popping up. Like, we just found out that CC Sabathia will be throwing for the Yankees. So, going to have to factor him here into our research. Also, Quintana is going to be starting for the Cubs. He got traded. So, something to keep an eye on, too. But, yeah, before we hop into the analysis, go ahead and give us both a follow on Twitter. My handle is at RealJoshuaGiant. You can follow Travis at TravisMangone. That's at Travis, MANGONE. And Travis will also be doing the MLB grind down for you guys. So make sure you go ahead, check out that piece. Sounds like you're covering here, Travis, for the MLB grind down. Are you excited for that?
Yeah, got a long night ahead of me, but this slate's not terrible, but I don't know, I'm not in love with it completely yet. Some of these pitchers, I'm wondering where all the aces are. I mean, some of them pitched yesterday, but I'm like wondering where Kershaw is. I don't know why he hasn't pitched yet, but I don't know. The aces just, I feel like, have been hiding a little bit. Haven't seen them. They were out a little bit yesterday. We had some, but just wondering where they are, and they weren't in the best spots yesterday, so that was a little frustrating, except Kluber. But yeah, we have, Yu Darvish. I guess let's kick it off, Josh. We got Yu Darvish and Carlos Martinez at the top. They're like the two aces to really look at. For me, I think it's Darvish for me. Looking at FanDuel, I mean, he's a really nice price tag. I get being scared of the Royals a little bit, but because they haven't, they've been a lot better recently. But Darvish is just a guy that has immense strikeout upside, and I'm definitely interested in him on this slate, especially on FanDuel for 9.9K. Like, I like him a ton. He's less than Rich Hill on DraftKings, which is crazy. I don't think I'm gonna pay the 11.9 for Rich Hill. I'd rather play Darvish there. I get maybe being a little bit worried about Kansas City and what they've been doing recently, but Darvish is a guy that can have some elite strikeout upside. So I kind of think he's a guy I have a lot of interest in on this slate. How about you, Josh? Do you like him?
Oh, yeah, man. I really like Darvish. Now, the fact that this is in Kansas City and not in Texas is a huge benefit for him. He gets that park upgrade. We know that Texas ballpark has been hot and humid in a hitter's environment, so it's a good park shift for him going to Kansas City. The only concern here is the strikeout rate of these Kansas City hitters. They're striking out at 19.1% against righties, so below that 20% mark. So, Darvish strikeout rate has been solid this season: 24.6% to righties, 27.5% to lefties. He's been striking out lefties a ton, which is definitely a good thing. And those fly balls are up a bit to righties this season at 37.5% for Darvish. But being in Kansas City, which is more of a pitcher's park than he's used to at home, I think he that shift is going to work to his benefit here. So definitely have a ton of interest in Darvish. It's tough on DraftKings because he's priced so high, though, at 11.3K. If you're looking to get some big bats in on the slate, it's going to be tough to do it with Darvish unless you get like a really cheap SP2 that you feel comfortable with, which is going to be a difficult task. On FanDuel, 9.9, I feel like you just lock Darvish in cash. Would you agree with that, Travis?
Where are you saying you lock him in? 9.9 on FanDuel, is that what you're saying?
Or? Yeah, on FanDuel, I think you locked Darvish in cash on this slate.
Possibly. I don't know for sure I am, but I think it's a good way to go, Josh.
But another guy you mentioned was Carmar, and here's the thing with Carmar is, like, his strikeout rate has been insane this season: 30.1% to righties, 22.5% to lefties. Drops a little bit there, but that huge 30% strikeout rate to righties and his walk rate below 5%, ground balls at 52%. The guy's getting the job done. Woba 227 for opponents, ISO low at 112. Everything just looks good for Carmar here. The problem is, he's inconsistent. He's shown some downside to playing him. And also, these Pittsburgh hitters just don't strike out. 17.5% strikeout rate to righties. Now, with that said, the game is in PNC, which is, you know, a huge park shift for Carmar, where he gets a nice pitcher's park here, one of the best pitching environments in the league. And their ISO is, you know, nice and low at 140 against righties. So, like, you know, that you mix the pitcher's park with that low ISO, we don't have to worry about Carmar giving up the long ball too much, as much as we'd have to worry about him getting pestered with, like, you know, singles and doubles. And you know, if he walks some of these lefties in the lineup, because his walk rate does jump up against lefties all the way up to 12.4%. But I think with the park shift working to his benefit and the strikeout rate high, it kind of neutralizes the fact that this team doesn't strike out a ton. I feel like he'll still pick up a good amount of strikeouts. It just comes down to, like, do you want to pay, you know, 10.8 for him on DraftKings or 11.3 for Darvish? That 500, if that 500 cap makes a monster difference for you with bats, then, like, I think it's something you can consider. And on FanDuel, you know, the same thing. If that 700 in cap is, you know, making that much of a difference off of Darvish, I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing to do. But for me, just to put it simply, I think that I like Darvish a lot better in cash, and I like Carmar over Darvish in tournaments. So that's where I'm at between the two guys there. And Rich Hill, for me, is a pass, by the way. Just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, agreed. So you said Carmar in cash and then Darvish in tournaments?
No, I said the other way around. I said Darvish in cash. Darvish in cash, Carmar in tournaments is where I am.
I'm torn at which way I'm going to go. I know that's not, like, the best answer, but if you told me right now, if I had to pick which way I'd go, I'd probably end up going the Darvish route. That's probably which one I would go, just because I like, you know, the Royals, the lineup they have right now, 21.6% it's just a lot higher than the Pirates one. I get Carlos Martinez has been really good against right-handed pitching and whatnot, but I think that's where I'll go. I think I'd go with Darvish, but it's tough. I don't know if I'll definitely play cash games on this slate. Like I said, I'm going to be writing the grind down and doing a bunch of other stuff. Got the VMA content. I got a ton of content I got to do, so I might just do tournaments only. Don't know for sure, but Darvish feels like he might be the guy I would end up leaning, just because I feel like specifically on FanDuel, I'm going to be able to get in bats I like with him, so I don't think he's a bad route to go. But there's other pitchers too on this slate that I think we should talk about and have interest in. Like I said, I'm not playing Rich Hill. I don't know. 8-8 on FanDuel is interesting to maybe play him. I mean, he's looked really good. Like, he has looked really good. So I think on FanDuel, it's more of a conversation. DraftKings, I get it. FanDuel, you have to think about it more. He gets a matchup against Miami. Miami, they're striking out. K percentage is at 18.1%, which is not the greatest right now. But I mean, against right-handed pitching, I mean, Rich Hill is at 29.8 K percentage. I mean, he has just looked good against righties. He's just, I think on FanDuel for that bargain, it's definitely a conversation. Like those three, man, it's a really interesting, you know, take your pick. I think it's going to be kind of split, which is pretty nice for cash games in general. Should be able to try and find the right play. But I think Rich Hill's more so in the conversation on FanDuel, but DraftKings, I would not play
him. Yeah, for sure. On DraftKings, definitely a pass, and that is a drastic price change there when you go over to FanDuel. 8.8K definitely puts him in the conversation. That's a good amount of savings off of Darvish if you want to pivot. And like you said, the 29% strikeout rate is definitely solid. And you see these Miami hitters, you see their strikeout rate jump up to 19.4% from the 16% against righties. They strike out a lot more against lefties. And you also see that ISO drop about 70 points down to 136 against lefties. So all working in Rich Hill's benefit, as long as he could go a good amount of innings and pick up some strikeouts, I think he could pay off that 8.8K price tag on FanDuel. DraftKings, though, definitely a hard pass at 11.9. I'm not going to pay that price for Rich Hill here. So yeah, that's where I'm at there. We do have some other pitchers here to talk about, though. We have, like I said, I mentioned earlier on the podcast, the Quintana trade. Now, Quintana going against Baltimore. Now, you know these Baltimore bats can hit, right? And they're not typically hitters that we try to target too much because there's a lot of pop in this lineup. But if we just go ahead and like look at these numbers against lefties, they're really not as great as you think, especially with this new and updated lineup they've been rolling out. First of all, the ISO 182 against lefties, not anything to write home about. Their wOBA 344. I mean, it's not terrible. It's not great. The BABIP has been very high against lefties for them this season at 409. That's something to keep in play. The ball's in play. They've gotten very lucky putting the ball in play against lefties. But one thing I really want to look at is that 36% strikeout rate against lefties. Now, obviously, that's mixed in with a small sample size of guys like Ruben Tejada, who only has, you know, 18 plate appearances against lefties and for the sample size. But still, there's other guys here who do strike out a ton, like Chris Davis with a 36% strikeout rate. against lefties. I mean, that's not a fluke number. That's a real number, you know. Trey Mancini striking out 26% of the time to lefties. Wellington Castillo, 29% of the time to lefties. Like, these are guys that really strike out against lefties. Adam Jones, 23%. So these guys do strike out a ton against lefties, you know. And I think that there's some upside here for Quintana with his 24% strikeout rate against righties and 26.3% to lefties. And his ground balls have been up. And, I, you know, it's hard to really, like, stomach saying Quintana is a good play, especially at this price tag here on DraftKings. He's at 9K and on FanDuel 8.5. But I love this guy in tournaments, man. You know, just because I feel like people are going to stay away with the matchup being in Baltimore in a hitter's park. We know Quintana fresh off the trade, but you got to look at the narrative here. And he's a guy with good strikeout upside going against a team that struggles against lefties. Like, if you just put your hand like on the screen over the names and look at just the numbers, this is a good matchup for Quintana. You know, it's not a great ballpark, like I said, but the matchup is there. And like I said, the narrative, what I was talking about, he's coming into a new team, right? And he's, you know, pitching his first game for this team. I think he's going to want to go out there and win them a game, you know, and get himself solidified on this rotation. And so I think that with the narrative there and the matchup being so good, I'm really going to like Quintana in tournaments. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, and one thing I do like to do is I like to target Baltimore against lefties. Lefties have definitely had their way with Baltimore a little bit, and especially like good lefties. So I have interest in Quintana here. You know, it's one of those games, you know, doing it first game for the Cubs, might be a little more motivated than usual, trying to look good for his first performance for them. So I'm a fan of Quintana here. I think he's a good option to consider. I definitely think I would want to have some tournament exposure to him. What do you think about some of these other guys here, like Zach Godley, Steven Matz, Mike Fiers, Rick Porcello, and Jeff Hoffman? Any of these guys stick out to you?
You know, these are guys that I think that are not it's tough now, like, you know, because the – like, once you come off of that top tier, like we said, there were some good plays there. One guy I think I'll definitely be interested in, I think Steven Matz is going to be a pretty solid play here against Colorado. Now, if you look at these numbers against lefties for these Colorado bats, you see the strikeout rate is pretty, you know, pretty solid for Matz here. 22.6% against lefties, the Rockies. On top of that, 124 ISO, which is just extremely small. You know, that's like there's not a lot of pop in these bats. 311 wOBA. You know, Steven Matz has not had great strikeout upside so far this season. His strikeout rates are, you know, 15.6% to righties and 18.8% to lefties. But, you know, if you look at last season, 23.2% strikeout rate to righties and 19% to lefties. And, you know, there's a good sample size there last season to show that. I think he's going to work his way back to around the 20% mark for his strikeouts. We're going to see some positive regression. And I think at home in a matchup against a team that strikes out a good amount against lefties like Colorado with such a – and again, you know, such a low ISO there, I think this is a good spot. This is a good spot here for Steven Matz. And I think I'll have some tournament exposure to him on DraftKings at 7.9. I think he makes a fine SP2 over there. FanDuel at 8.3, it's a bit tougher, especially since he's the only guy you could roster since you only roster one pitcher. But I'll have some interest in Matz on DraftKings and tournaments as my SP2. How about you, Travis? Any interest in Matz?
Yeah, I think he's a decent tournament option just because the upside he possesses. So I think I would go him in tournaments for 7.9. Don't mind him. I don't hate going Zach Godley. I do worry about with that Atlanta team, but I mean, he's been really good this year. Against righties, 26.6K percentage, 21.1 against lefties. Good ground ball rate, 70.5 against lefties, 55 against righties. I don't mind Zach Godley, but again, he's one of the guys maybe we just sprinkle in, not getting a ton of. But I think Matz is a really good call for 7.9 on DraftKings. I definitely have interest in him as a tournament option. These other guys too, like Rick Porcello pass, Mike Fiers pass, Ian Kennedy pass. Even Jeff Hoffman I don't have interest in. Like, the Mets bats are hot. I kind of was talking about that yesterday. They're just looking really good right now, and they're really firing out of the break. Terry Collins has them, like, pretty motivated. Like I said, this is, like, such, like, a corny, terrible thing to say, and it's not, like, really, like, stats-driven, but I don't know. Terry Collins just said, like, the urgency is there. He feels it in the clubhouse, so I don't know. I mean, they're just showing that. Like, they're out there, and they're trying to really make a push here, so.
Let me ask you a quick question, though. You passed pretty quickly on Mike Fiers. Why don't you have any interest there?
Because I don't roster Mike Fiers, man. Like, that guy, he just gives up too much hard hit rate. It's also against, like, the Twins, man. Like, the Twins actually have, like, a decent offense. I don't think this is the right slate for Mike Fiers.
The Twins' strikeout rate, Travis, this season is 29.6% to righties. And Mike Fiers has a strikeout rate of 22.7% to righties, 20.7% to lefties. Like, he has the strikeout upside here. Like, what do you think the ISO is that he's giving up to lefties this season? And we're going to see a ton of lefties against him.
It's probably not that high because Joe Mauer's in there.
142. Yeah, yeah. A little Mauer joke. I think Fiers is a fine play in tournaments. I think that I'm going to have some exposure, especially on DraftKings at 7.3. I think that he makes 8.1 on FanDuel as a stay away, but I think 7.3 as a site-specific tournament play. I think there's a lot of upside for Fiers here. So I think that he's someone that you should be looking at in tournaments. But also, you mentioned Godley. Now, my only issue with Godley, like, he has good ground ball stuff, and he does have some strikeout abilities. You know, I just have a hard time targeting the Braves at home in SunTrust now. And on top of that, he's going to be facing, you know, a healthy lineup now. There's a lot of good power bats in this lineup that could really wake up, especially, like I said, with the park being so good for hitters. So I think that's why I'd be passing on Godley on this slate. But yeah, were you in the middle of a thought? I'm sorry. Do you want to continue that?
No, you're good. I mean, from here, like, I'm not trying like to speed it up, but like, what other pitchers do you like below Mike Fiers? Like, it's just gets really ugly really quick. So I was just curious, like, below Mike Fiers, is there anyone that you're playing?
I'm done pitchers. That's it. I mean, I'm not trying to speed it up. So for me, I'll just give my quick summary about pitching, and then you'll give yours, okay? And then we'll just move on to the hitters. Does that sound good to you?
Okay, one thing I just want to note before we go there, just one, like a couple guys just want to key in on. I know that Andrew Moore, he's been pretty good for the first couple starts, struggled against Oakland, but I think he's a guy that against the White Sox people are going to consider. So I think it just kind of give him an honorable mention and maybe someone I would maybe sprinkle in my lineups, but I don't know if I would definitely do it. And then I wanted to mention, where is he? Oh, yeah. So a lot of people are like backing him, and I'm not saying I'm backing him, but I feel like it's worth noting. Like, so Anibal Sanchez like learned how to like stop throwing like this terrible pitch. I forget which pitch it was. I think it was cutter. So Anibal Sanchez stopped throwing the cutter, and ever since he stopped throwing the cutter, he's looked really good. I don't know against Toronto if it's the right spot, but I just think it's something to note. I know if this was like a Monday through Friday, it would be one of those like things that people would be talking about throughout the day. So I figured I'd mention it. If you want to investigate it in yourself and like look into it, sure you can. But I'm not rostering Anibal Sanchez. I get it though. I think people will probably think about doing it, and especially against like with a ton of righties that are in that lineup, I get they can be scary, but Sanchez has really like limited the damage in the last couple starts since he's gotten rid of that cutter. So I think it's just worth noting, and I just wanted to kind of mention it as maybe a tournament option you could go to. But like I said, I don't know if I'm actually going to go to it. It's still tough for me to click on that name. But yeah, Josh, sum up what you were going to say about pitching.
Okay, so for me, Rich Hill is a hard pass on DraftKings 11.9. I think he's definitely in play, though, and in consideration at 8.8 on FanDuel. Darvish will be my top play on the slate on both sites. I think that at 9.9K on FanDuel, for me, at this point, he makes the top cash game play. I think Carmar has upside in tournaments. I think that he's definitely an option to pivot off of Darvish if that few hundred bucks in cap really gives you an upgrade. I think in tournaments you could pivot to Carmar instead of Darvish, but still like Darvish over Carmar. I think Quintana is a fantastic tournament play, especially with Baltimore struggles against lefties. The fact that, you know, people probably would be scared off because of the matchup against Baltimore being in Baltimore. But I think the matchup, you know, like I said, you throw the teams away, you just look at the stats here, the team names away, look at the stats. Quintana is in a good spot, has a good strikeout upside against Baltimore. So I think that he makes a fantastic tournament play. Godley, I'm going to pass on just because, you know, it's in SunTrust, as I said. I also think that Matt Fiers is a good tournament option. He has some strikeout upside against his Minnesota team that strikes out at almost 30% rate against righties this season. And people tend to not target pitchers, especially in Houston. But against Minnesota, people don't like targeting pitchers. So I think that's something you could take advantage of here and get some nice contrarian contrarian plays in your lineup, in your pitching spot. Fears is the way that I would go there. So, so yeah, that's it for me on pitcher as of right now. Everyone else you could just discard and get rid of. For me, it's, you know, on slates like this, I just use the process of elimination and find out where I want to go and just build with a core of guys. And this is where I've landed on pitchers. So how about you, Travis? What's your summary?
Yeah, I see why you have interest in Fires now, because you said Matt. So I'm guessing Mike has a brother and Matt's like really good at pitching. Oh. So
Mike Fires. Somebody.
Yeah, no. So I guess I'm down with Fires if it's Matt Fires, but Mike, not so much. But yeah, just messing with you there. Yeah, for me, it's like Darvish. I think Darvish is like my favorite guy if I had to pick. Quintana then is another I have interest in, and Steven Matz. Like, those are the three I'm really going to focus on, I think, in tournaments. And then in cash games on, and even like Martinez, I think, has like good upside where I'll consider him in tournaments too. I think Rich Hill in cash games on FanDuel is a conversation, though. I don't know if I'd actually pull the trigger on it. Again, I think it's like Darvish, though. I mean, Darvish looks like he's going to be the guy to really, really want to hone in this slate for cash games, though. So, yeah, I'm gonna keep it tight core. Darvish, Quintana, and Matson, maybe a little Carlos Martinez too. And I don't know. I don't think I'm really going to pay down at batters tomorrow. I think I'm going to really just take these pitchers here, because there's just not a lot of pitchers I like that I feel like can actually like have upside and help me get there. Like yesterday's slate, where I think there were guys that actually had K upside and can actually pull that off.
Yeah, I didn't mean to skip over him either in my summary, by the way, but I also like Matz a lot, especially on DraftKings as an SP2. So just wanted to, I know I said that earlier, but in my summary I left him out. Definitely like him a lot too. So you good on pitcher here, Travis, or is there anything else you want to mention?
No, yeah, let's head over to catcher.
All right, we're on to the catcher position now. If you guys listened to the Weekend Grind, you heard us fill in for Dan Bach for the Fantasy Fix podcast. You should know by now that we just try to find cheap catchers, you know, that have power and correlate to our lineup. So that's what I'm going to be looking for here on this slate. Travis, you could kick us off here, though, at catcher. Tell me where you're looking, because I'm honestly like not 100% sure which route I'm going, so maybe you could sell me on a few guys.
Oh, yeah, I think there's a couple guys I could sell you on. I think I can easily sell you on Alex Avila against Estrada, batting second. I think even Russell Martin against Anibal Sanchez, batting second, is another guy. Evan Gattis, Brian McCann against Kyle Gibson. That sounds like a great idea. Gary Sanchez, he's been smashing righties this year against Rick Porcello, who's getting hit hard by righties. Like him a lot. Wilson Contreras against Ubaldo Jimenez. That's another good play you could go. Ubaldo hasn't been that great. So I think there's a ton of guys like Mike Zanino against a lefty and Derek Holland. There's a ton of catchers to like actually on this slate. So I think whichever one of these guys, like I just mentioned, fits your roster construction, go right ahead. I even think you could go with your punk guy that you didn't mind, Steven Vogt against Jeremy Hellickson. I don't think that's a terrible idea, because he hasn't been that great against lefties. I mean, he's definitely struggled against them. So I think there's a ton of catchers to like on this slate, oddly enough. And again, like, I mean, I'll just tell you my favorite two now. I mean, like, Gary Sanchez, if I could get him in, I want to get him in. He'd probably be my number one. And then, like, Alex Avila right there, number two. But there's, like, these Astros catchers I like, too. I think, like, whichever one's in the lineup will be great. There's just a ton of catchers to love. What about you, Josh? Did I steal them all, or you still got some catchers to like, or want to just reiterate some of the ones I said?
No, I mean, I'm having some interest in Steven Vaught as I'm building my lineups. Do like him against Hellickson a lot. Especially in a hitter's environment here in Milwaukee. Guy has some pop, you know, left in his bat here, and Hellickson gives up a ton of hard contact, a ton of fly balls, so that's a good route to go. I think Steven Vaught comes at a nice discount, too, across the industry, so wouldn't mind him. And I guess Brian McCann, I'm going to have some interest here against Kyle Gibson in Houston. I think that we all know that Brian McCann has that home run upside, and he's relatively cheap across the industry, so definitely someone you could consider here against Kyle Gibson. You know, Houston has that huge run total, implied run total at 5.5. So you want to get some stock there. And I think Brian McCann represents some nice cheap stock if he's in the lineup there. So like him a lot. I'm kind of hesitant with Alex Avila because I know Estrada is a guy that, you know, you can pick on, but I have a hard time picking on him. Detroit has this huge implied run total over 5, though. So, I mean, like, it's going to be tough to not get some Detroit stock. I might get some Avila in there if I stack some Tigers, but I'm just like going to be a little bit weary about that. That's all. And like you said, Gary Sanchez, great play. If I could find the cap to get him in against Porcello, certainly will do so. So I guess that's where I'm at catcher as of right now. But as the lineups come out, we might find some value depending on how the lineups are posted for Sunday. So as the lineups come out, if anyone pops up a catcher that I really like, you can hit me up on Twitter and ask me, or I'll probably post something saying where I'll end up going. So that's where I'm at right now at catcher. Anyone else here that you want to mention at catcher, Travis?
No, yeah, let's head over to first base. And heading over to first, I want to just give you like the value play on DraftKings and the value play on FanDuel. Like, if you want a value play, here they are. Sam Travis against CeCe Sabathia. He's the FanDuel value play for 2,200. If you just want to go all the way down to the bottom, he's a great value play to like. And then if you want to go to another value play on DraftKings, Miguel Cabrera for 3,200 is ridiculous.
Why? Like, why are they making Miggy free every single slate? Like, why do they hate this guy so much?
Yeah, I don't know. But I just want to mention them now and get it out of the way. Like, I just noticed that those were two screaming values, and I just want to say them right away. Like, if you think they fit your cash games, they'll go with for it. But I just figured, like, if you're looking for value there, that's where you can go instantly. But again, it's actually, I kind of like this position today. You know, Joey Votto against Rourke. Like, Rourke, man, he can get blown up bad. I think I have interest in him. Paul Goetschmidt against Jaime Garcia. It's a lefty. And he should definitely smash him. Freddie Freeman always against a righty I'd have interest in. So, like, already at the top. And, like, Anthony Rizzo at the top against Ubaldo. Like, these are all guys that are, like, really good options. But they're expensive. I don't know if I'll definitely pay for them, but they're all in good spots. Still going down the list on DraftKings. Like, Eric Thames against Hellickson. That's a great spot. Cody Bellinger against Volquez. Like, he just hit for the cycle. Like, these guys at the top that I just list six of them. They are all fantastic plays in really good spots tomorrow. So it's going to be tough to pick between all of them. But yeah, so Josh, I just stole a lot of the guys from the top. Who do you like? I mean, I know obviously salary is a thing. Like I said, I gave you the Miguel Cabrera value, obviously, and there's other value plays around. But who else do you like?
Yeah, man, just want to side note. Miguel Cabrera was 3,400 yesterday. And he went 3-for-4 with a home run, put up 28 DraftKings points. Like, he hasn't been over 3.5 since, like, even before the break for, like, a week. He was under, like, I don't understand. Someone at DraftKings, just do something about that, please. Because it's so frustrating that, like, I can't pass up on Miggy at that price. You know what I mean? Like, and it puts me in a weird spot. Now, it paid off yesterday, but, like, someone's got to do something about it. It's just, it's crazy. He's not priced appropriately, and it's ridiculous now. It's every single slate that the Detroit plays, Miguel Cabrera is underpriced, and it has to be fixed. So that's where I'm at over there. It's kind of frustrating. So, of course, I'm going to have a ton of Miggy on DraftKings. Of course I will, because he's free, and he's in a good matchup. And he's been free for a while now. So, yeah, I will begrudgingly put Miggy into my lives at this price tag. But, yeah, I think Eric Thames is a good play. You mentioned him, too. I don't mind Tommy Joseph as, like, you know, a nice tournament play, because the guy has a lot of pop, lots of upside. We know he has double dong upside. And Matt Garza gives up a ton of hard contact. And it's in Milwaukee, a nice hitter's park. So I think that he's going to be, like, my super special tournament play. And you know I'm always going to have interest in Valencia against a lefty. Going against Derek Holland. So I think that he's a nice tournament play as well. But for cash, yeah, you certainly, I think you just have to go with Miggy on DraftKings and move on. And on FanDuel, I think Sam Travis, as you mentioned, against CC is certainly a nice value play, too, for cash. And I don't mind paying up for Cody Bellinger here either. As you mentioned, I think that he's another fine play. But yeah, so that's where I'm going to end up being here is I'm going to have a ton of Miggy on DraftKings, ton of Sam Travis on FanDuel, and I think that you could pay up for Bellinger if you want to, you know, get some extra exposure. Oh, and Paulie Goldschmidt, by the way. Paulie Goldschmidt, didn't shout him out. You know, salary's the thing. He's expensive, but going against a lefty here with Jaime Garcia, I think that he's a fine play at SunTrust and a nice hitter's park. So definitely don't think you should pass up on him. There's a lot of good plays. Carpenter's a good play, too. There's a lot of good plays here. So, but I think that if you're looking to save, there's you know, definitely a nice value option on both sides. So that's where I'm at first base. I think that I'll end up probably just going with the value on both sides, but I think if you're going to pay up, there's fine options to go for. And as I mentioned, Goldschmidt, Carpenter, Thames, and Bellinger are probably the guys I'd pay up for. So that's where I'm at first base. Anyone else here you want to mention, Travis?
Oh, yeah, like I said, I led with the value just because I knew there was like a ton of guys at the top that I absolutely would like. So I led with the value because of that. But, yeah, I think Miguel Cabrera on DraftKings, love him. And then I think like Eric Thames, like if I had to pick between all these guys, just putting salary as a thing, like I think Thames is the guy. Like I think he's in a good spot to hit homer against Hellickson tomorrow. So I'm going to go back on the well with him and just, I know it's been a little ugly at times, but I think this is a spot where I'm going to go and roster him.
All right. Very good. So we're going to move on to second base now. Travis, you can kick us off here again at second base. Who are you looking at second?
Yeah. So, sorry. I was got distracted on Twitter, man. Cheese is good. Looks like he won 50K tonight, I think. I just saw that. It popped up. So that's pretty Attaboy, awesome Cheese. For him.
Yeah, by the way, shout out to Cheese. If you don't have incentives, you should get him just for his article. Man, like him and JM do that article. But yeah, Cheese's Million Dollar Musings, man, it's just one of my favorite stops for when I'm doing research. So definitely check out his stuff. His content's amazing. And a great guy in person, too. Hung out with Dave a good few times over the years. And always fun to hang out with. Such a great ambassador for the game. So, yeah. Go ahead, Travis. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But definitely wanted to give Cheese a shout out with you. So.
Yeah, no, he had a pretty nice day. And, hey, he played Kluber and Alex Wood to end up taking that down. And the reason I didn't is because I played Castillo and Tyone. They actually weren't, like, awful at first, but they were crushing to start out the game. And then, like, fourth and fifth inning both hit them, man. They just need to get a couple more innings, and they could have smashed. But what are you going to do? But anyways, yeah, so we're on the second base now. All right, yeah, so sorry for getting us a little off track. On the second, so yeah, I think Jonathan Villar against the Hellickson is an interesting option to consider. You talked about how you like Matt Carpenter at first. Hey, head over to FanDuel and play him at second for 3,700. It's not a bad route to go. Mike Fiers has been giving up hard contact against righties this year. I think Dozier's a guy, like, he can just smash anyone. I'm definitely going to have interest in him. And if I have the money, man, I want to go, like, obviously Altuve and Daniel Murphy, I would love to play. They'd be great plays to play, but I just don't know if I'll end up having the money there at second. It's going to be tough. I think I'm going to try and have to, like, pay more in the mid-tier. I don't know if I'll be able to get up there, but, like, Brian Dozier's a pretty nice value on, like, FanDuel that I like. Looking over at DraftKings, where the value is, VR is 3,900, so that's sort of a value. Kinsler is only 3,500, so if he's batting, towards the top of the lineup, I could see getting him in to get some Tigers exposure. So, yeah, that's about it, though. I think it's a spot where it seems like I'm going to want, like, 20% of a bunch of these guys. There's some good bats in it. It seems like a spot where I might want to see, there's a lot. My spot I might want to pay up for, but again, I don't know. It seems like I'm going to want to be paying up at pitcher too, so it might end up getting a little tough. Maybe we'll have to get some value further on, but this is a spot where I feel like there's some good bats all around towards the top, and the value bats, I mean, I'm just not in love with like a Colton Wong, Estrubel Cabrera, Logan Forsyth, Brandon Drury. Like some of these guys down here I'm not in love with. It's mainly just Kinsler, but who do you like, Josh?
Well, he's outfield eligible on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, Benny Zobrist, I think, is a good play if he's leading off here. You get a nice cheap stock, not cheap, but you get some stock in this Cubs lineup. I'm going to go back to the well with the Cubs on the slate. I think they're in a great spot here against Jimenez, so like him a lot. I also will have some interest in Dustin Pedroia against CeCe. He's priced up, like you said. You know, you want to like him, you want to like Danny Murphy, and you want to like Altuve, but salary is a thing. So obviously all three of those guys are in good, definitely in play. VR, as you mentioned, I do think that he's in play as well. Trying to find where I want to go, again, these underpriced Detroit guys, man, Kinsler is just super cheap again on DraftKings at 3.5. It makes it tough to fade him, at that price tag. So I might have some Kinsler in my lineups on DraftKings. Just gives me that cap relief to get Darvish in there. So I think that he makes a fine play. But if I'm going to pay up, I'll probably go the route of Danny Murphy or Altuve. Those will probably be the two guys that I'll end up paying up for. So. Altuve's in such a good spot against Kyle Gibson, so definitely like him a lot there. I also don't think Odor is a terrible play against Ian Kennedy. I think that the Texas bats might get overlooked on the slate. So if you want to look for a really low-owned second baseman that has a lot of pop in his bat, lots of upside, Odor could be your guy. So I think you could look there too. Anyone else here that you want to mention at second base, Travis?
Yeah, no, not really anyone else I want to mention. Let's head over to third, though. I think for me, it's tough, right? There's a lot of guys to like. I just don't love the spots as much. Like, I'm a big Manny Machado fan, but against Quintana, I get it. It's a lefty. He's got the regression coming, but Quintana's just been really, you know, he's a guy that can, you know, really just limit a lot of damage, get a lot of soft contact. I'm just not looking to target him as much, and this is just a spot I'm not going to end up going to Machado, I don't think. I really like Travis Shaw against Hellickson. I think he's a guy that I want to consider. And he's just been smashing the ball. He had another home run yesterday. He's just a guy that he can crush right-handed pitching, and I would definitely have interest in him. Chris Bryant against Ubaldo Jimenez, I mean, that's another one to like a lot. So he's another guy, and you know, Freddie Freeman on FanDuel, he's now getting up there. He's 4K, so we knew this was going to end up happening. He was only 3.5 before, and he's just going up and up. So against Zach Godley, again, I like Zach Godley, but Freddie Freeman is just one of the better hitters in baseball. So I would definitely have interest in him too, Josh. What about you though? Is there anyone else you'd like at third? Who's like the guys that are sticking off the page to you?
Yeah, you mentioned Travis Shaw, and I do like Travis Shaw a lot on the slate. I think that he's certainly a guy that you could roster here. I do like him as a correlation play to Stephen Vaught or to Eric Thames. I think they're all in play here, or VR. I really like Chris Bryant here, as you mentioned. I just want to keep going back to these Cubs when they're in good spots, and they're in a good spot here against Jimenez. So I think I'll end up having a lot of Chris Bryant. If I could find a way to pay up for him and get him in my lineup, I'm going to do just that. You know, as I mentioned, I do like Steven Matz, but, you know, you always have to consider Arenado against the lefty, right? So I think that he makes a fine tournament play, because I think most people, if they're paying up, they're going to end up going over to Chris Bryant, which is, you know, makes more sense than, like, cash. But I think in tournaments, you could justify having some Arenado in your lineups. So, yeah, that's about where I'm at right now at third base. If I'm paying up, I'm probably just going to go with Chris Bryant and just kind of find other ways to go. If I need to, like, you know, go other ways, I'll probably just pick guys that are my stack. Travis Shaw too, as I mentioned, like, you know, we both agreed on that. So I'd say that, like, Shaw and Chris Bryant are my top two guys. Arenado, as I mentioned, I like in tournaments. And if I'm going to play any other third baseman, it's going to be because, you know, to fill in parts of different stacks that I might like. So that's where I'm at the hot corner at third. Anyone else you want to mention here at third, Travis?
No, pretty lame, but I think Shaw and Bryant are the same for me. Like, I think they're the two guys I have the most interest in, if I had to only pick two.
All right, very good. On to shortstop now. You know, lots of options to pick from. You got Bogaerts going against CeCe here. He's a guy I don't like paying up for, just because, like, the, you know, the upside is, like, he's pretty solid in cash, but in tournaments, the upside's kind of limited, so stay with him there. But Corey Seager, man, against Tom Kohler here, he's in such a good spot. I think that this is a good homer spot for him. I think that he goes yard in this spot against Tom Kohler. So definitely going to have some Corey Seager. Trevor Story is another guy like Arenado, who I mentioned, you know, is in a tough matchup against Mats, but hits lefties really well. So I think if you're going to play one, you play the other in a tournament lineup. You correlate Story and Arenado together. I don't mind Tulo. I think that if you need a nice cheap shortstop, you could go that route against Anibal Sanchez. I don't mind that play very much. But Chris Owings is going to be a guy that I also have a good amount of exposure to. Jaime Garcia, you know, is a weak lefty, and Owings hits lefties well. He's in SunTrust in a nice hitter's environment. So with that, I think that it's a good spot to take advantage of it. And if you want to make a nice little Houston stack, you could go ahead and play Carlos Correa. But that's probably the core of the guys I'll be looking at shortstop. How about you, Travis?
Yeah, I don't love it. It's definitely not the greatest position. If I'm going to punt, like, I think going right Galvis against the guards is interesting, like a Defoe or a Stephen Drew. I think they could get a nice lineup spots, and I think that's definitely something interesting. I don't mind Cozart against Tanner Worak. I think he's an interesting guy you can go to. And even like a Didi Gregorius against Porcel, I think he's a good guy that you can maybe even take as like a one-off or just doing like a mini stack with Gary Sanchez. So I think, and I get your Story play with Steven Matz. It makes sense. If you're not playing Matz, you definitely think you could get some Story exposure. And I mean, he's a guy that can just hit two home runs against lefties. He's smashed them throughout his career. So, but again, he's a guy I don't really love rostering that much, but he's cheap in spots around the industry. So, this is a spot where I'm more so looking to pay down. If you have the money for Carlos Correa, like, I mean, it's Kyle Gibson, man. Like, I get the Astros, you know, they're not going to smash every single day. They they had a good matchup yesterday, and hey, it didn't work out. But Kyle Gibson's the guy that can easily get destroyed too. And if I have the money for Carlos Gray, I would love to pay for him. But I don't know, running out of money, right? So I think this is a good spot to pay down personally tonight.
I agree. Oh, I also I forgot to mention Addison Russell here against Jimenez. Like him a lot if you want to.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call, too. He's cheap, too.
He's a nice, fine value play. You don't want to overlook these Cubs. I really do like them a lot again on this slate. And, you know, gives you cheap stock in that Cubs lineup. So let's move on to the outfield now. This is like, you know, the spot where you open up your lineup and you put those touches on the picture that you're painting and find out where you want to correlate. And there's a lot of ways that you can go. So, Travis, I'm interested in hearing where you're looking at outfield here. So tell me where you're looking at.
So, yeah, outfield's interesting. You know, there's some nice correlation plays to like. Again, I think I'll go back to the well with these Mets outfielders. They kind of, you know, they almost got us there. They got the Jay Bruce homer and Conforto and Cespedes didn't do bad. But I think I'll go back to the well on correlating them against Hoffman. Don't think that's a bad route to go. I really like going to a guy like A.J. Pollock. Like, I'm FanDuel for $3,400 against Jaime Garcia, who gives up a lot of stolen bases. These Diamondbacks love to run wild on them. So I think they're an interesting play to go. I wouldn't forget Ryan Braun in your Brewer stacks, right? Like with all those lefties we talked about, I definitely want to throw him in. He's a nice power bat. Getting Josh Reddick is like a cheap Astros exposure. I think that's a good route to go. And like George Springer, if you can pay for him, I'd love to pay for him. Speaking of paying for outfielders, again, I'm running out of money, but Mookie Betts and Nelson Cruz against lefties, like sign me up if I have the money for it. That just sounds like a great play overall. So I think those guys are definitely ones to consider. Also, like the Reds outfield, like the Hamilton, Schebler, and Duvall. I think they're a good correlation to play. And on top of that, the Rangers, some of them are missed with the best of them. So if they're swinging really well, like a Cinchuchu, Mazzara, and a Gomez, like getting those guys in there against a flyball pitcher is an interesting route to go. So lots of outfielders to like on this slate. Just depends on what fits your construction. And again, it's a Sunday. I know it's right off the All-Star break, but sometimes guys get days off out of nowhere. So just be on the lookout for that, especially for instance, Alex Presley. He's been batting first for the Tigers, so he could be like a screaming value all over the sites tomorrow for like $2,500 on FanDuel. That could be a way to save in the outfield. Because like I said, I've talked about a lot of guys towards the top in the mid-tier. Haven't really talked about a ton at the bottom. Probably be guys like Zobrist and Schwarber on FanDuel. They're pretty cheap. But a lot of outfielders love Josh. I hope I didn't take them all from you.
No, I mean, I'm just going to rattle off the list here of guys I'm looking at. I like Betts against the lefty. I think Goodwin and Harper are definitely both in play if you want to get some of that Washington exposure. I might stay away from the Mets lefties. Had Bruce in my lineup. That worked out well. And Conforto, too. It didn't work out as well. But Cespedes is still pretty cheap. So I think that on DraftKings, I wouldn't mind going with some Cespedes at 3.4 as long as he plays. They have him listed as day-to-day now. So there might have been some kind of issue with him. But just keep an eye on his status. He felt something in his hip, it says, which caused him to leave early. So,
is it Cespedes?
Yes, that's what it says.
She's probably not going to play tomorrow, then. That's for sure.
So, yeah, they're probably going to arrest him. So, but if that's the case, you'll probably get some Granderson in the lineup. So I think that if he's in the lineup, you could go with, like, Bruce Conforto or Granderson. But definitely not going to have too much exposure to them. Like, not going to go too back into that well, too deep back into that well. I think that Schwarber is definitely in play in Hayward. I think that they both make fine plays here. Get some Cubs exposure against Jimenez. I also like Pollock a lot. I think Pollock makes a fine one-off if you don't want to play any more of these D-backs. I think against Jaime Garcia, Pollock is a good play. Hits lefties really well. I also have going to have interest in Ryan Braun. You know, he's a guy that you could take as a one-off, has lots of pop in his bat, especially at home, Milwaukee against Hellickson, who gives up a ton of hard contact. So we'll be looking in that route, too, with Ryan Braun. Again, makes a fine correlation play. Wouldn't mind a nice stack of these Milwaukee guys here, and Ryan Braun fits the mold for that very well. And, you know, like you said, Nelson Cruz against the lefty, as long as he's in the lineup, you know, you fire him up. Anytime Nelson Cruz is in the lineup against the lefty in a good hitting environment like Chicago at the White Sox Stadium, definitely fire him up there. And, you know, Springer and Reddick make good plays, too. Try to get some Houston stacks because they look like they're going to score a ton of runs here. So definitely we'll have some Houston stacks out there. Don't know if I'd play too many of these Houston guys as one-offs because I do like to correlate them when I play them because if they score runs, they score them in bunches, and you'll get a ton out of it. So definitely you could look that route. But Cruz is my favorite one off of the outfielders here. Other than that, you could just correlate to where you want to go. So, like, you know, if you want to go with the Mets, you could take, like, Conforto and Bruce or Granderson together, you know, pair up two guys there. If you want to go with the Cubs, you could, like, pair up Hayward and Schwarber. You know, if you want to go with some these Detroit bats, Upton and JD, make a fine Royals play. So, yeah, so that's where I'm at outfield right now. Anything else here you want to mention about the outfield, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, just rear about the Cubs, man. I'm guessing they're going to be chalky against Ubaldo tomorrow. But, man, they are just really cheap on FanDuel. Like, Bill Britt's in the outfield is $2,900. Hayward is $2,700. Kyle Schwarber is $2,700. And John Jay is $2,500. So, man, like, they're just going to be, like, really good plays just to, like, get value and be able to fit in Darvish, right? Fit in your Chris Bryant, your Rizzo. Assuming they'll be a super chalky option, especially against Ubaldo tomorrow. So just wanted to mention them again, just as they can be an interesting option.
All right. So with that, we're going to move on to the stack of the day since we covered all the positions. You know what, Travis? Why don't you go ahead? Are you ready to kick off with the stack?
Yeah, I think I got one. I think it's a pretty good tournament stack. I think it's one that you know, wins people tournaments a lot, and I'm a big fan of it. I think I'm going to go pretty heavy on it tomorrow. But we're doing this about the Vegas lines, really. Like, you know, normally it's something I kind of lean on. It's kind of like a crutch sometimes too much, I'd say. I don't know about you, Josh, but I think sometimes we lean on it too much, obviously for good reasons. But without the Vegas line, I still think it's going to be a good team to go to. Yeah, so for me, it's the Milwaukee Brewers. I just think this is a great spot to absolutely get Jeremy Hellickson shelled. It makes a ton of sense for me on this slate. Hopefully they play the right lineup. Sometimes they really mess with it and just ruin everything, but I'm going to play a lot of these lefties like VR, Thames, Travis Shaw, even Vogt, and like I want to throw in Ryan Braun, of course, and Domingo Santana. I mean, that guy's been smashing. I heard Big T rattle off his game logs on like a show on Friday. I just want to rattle them off for you guys if you didn't hear. Like, it's absolutely wild. Here we go. So just since like since June 29th, 24.9, 6.2, 28.2, 15.5, 12.4, 3, 12.7, 43.6, 15.2, 28.7, 6, 15.2. Like, the guy's just like every day just putting up points and points and points. So he's another guy to consider. Like, those are probably the guys I would really look at. Those main six, one through six, I would be considering. But Hellickson, K percentage against lefties is 11%. Walk percentage is 8.3. Like, that is really, really bad. I mean, he's just giving up a wOBA of 0.347, ISO of 0.248. Like, this is just a spot against those lefties he could absolutely smash. And even against the righties, 0.328 wOBA and an ISO of 0.225. So, this is just a team that they can either swing or they'll miss it. Like, it's plain and simple. So I think this is a spot, and when they get going, man, like, they can put up double digits by like the third inning and it's already getting ugly. So I really like the Brewers here. I think this is an interesting spot to go to with them. And hey, maybe the roof will be open in Milwaukee too, which helps out the hitters too if it's nice and warm there in Milwaukee. So be on the lookout for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the Milwaukee stack. Definitely, they're going to be one of my top stacks for sure on the slate. But I'll just go the chalk route then, go back to my well from yesterday. Chicago Cubs will be my stack of the day here against Ubaldo Jimenez. They're going to be popular, they're going to be chalky, but with good reason. So I think that they make a good stack. I think that having a nice core of a Cubs stack, and then like wherever you go outside of that, whether you make a small mini stack to pair them with, or, you know, if you go with a few, you know, pretty solid contrarian one-offs, I think that I think you could do really well tomorrow. So I think the Cubs are going to be my stack of the day here, with Milwaukee pretty close to, like, try, you know, biting at the heels there, because I really do like these Brewers bats along with you in this matchup here and in this spot at home. So so yeah, for me it's going to be the Cubs with Milwaukee right behind it. So that's where I'm at the stack of the day. And with that, we covered the slate, guys. We did it. Enjoy your Sunday. Make sure you get up at a decent time, especially you West Coasters. Slate locks at 1:05 p.m. Eastern time, so make sure you get your lineups in time there. As always, make sure you check the RotoGrinders weather page, and make sure you check the lineups to make sure that, you know, when they get confirmed, see where you look. And if you have any questions for us or any comments, feel free to follow us both on Twitter. We'd love for you guys to do that. My handle is at RotoGrinders. Real Joshua Giant. You can follow Travis at Travis Mangone, at Travis Mangone. We love interacting with you guys. So as the lineups start coming out throughout the morning, we're here to talk with you and give you any advice that you might want to ask us about. So go ahead and do that. But other than that, enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy some baseball. We'll see you guys next weekend. For my co-host, Travis Mangone, I'm Josh Sir Giant. Peace out, Grinders.